How can we ensure that we don't drift away from the faith? That's what we're going to discuss in today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and thank you so much for joining us. We're in a series right now called Hebrews, Partners with Christ. And we're also excited to tell you that we have a book by that same name. It's available on our website, faithalone.org. We're really excited to have the author of that book in the studio with us for the duration of this series. His name is Dr. Kenneth Yates. And in addition to Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar, they are discussing chapter 2, verse 10 through 18. Let's go right to their discussion. This is Grace in Focus.
Thanks for tuning into the show. We're in the middle of this series going through the book of Hebrews in a way I'm pretty sure that you've never heard taught before. Hebrews is all about warning believers from straying from the faith, straying from what we've heard, because what is at stake is losing this so great salvation that God wants for every single one of his children. This is more than just being born again. This is eternally ruling with Christ in this amazing kingdom.
Yes, the idea that this would be so motivational in the sense that I know as a believer that I'm going to be in the kingdom, but now by the grace of God, I have the opportunity to reign with Christ, to be one of his partners, to be close with him.
Now, in the last episode, we were in chapter 2, verse 10. And we were explaining why the incarnation, Jesus, who is greater than the angels, who in fact is God, that's what the author of Hebrews believed from the first chapter, became a little lower than angels. He became a man because he had to go through suffering. By the same token, the intended readership of Hebrews, including us today, that tells us about the purpose and meaning of our suffering. Is suffering optional for us?
No, all those who are going to reign with Christ are going to suffer with him. We live in a world that is opposed to him. And as Jesus said, if the world hated him, if we're walking in his footsteps, if he is our captain, as we saw in the previous verses, if we're following his example, we can expect that the world is going to hate us and we're going to experience suffering as well. And as you mentioned, Sean, the original readers were certainly going through that. And we do too, to the degree that we are faithful to him.
And the danger is for these original readers is the suffering was something they didn't want to go through.
They were wanting to get out of it. That's why they were drifting away. That's why they were in danger of denying the Lord. And the author of Hebrews is pointing out that when we suffer with the Lord, we are being like the king. And how exciting is that? Or at least what a motivation it is as I go through suffering that I am following in his footsteps.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And this opens up the verses which follow, 11 through 18 of chapter 2. Verse 11 says, and I like this, both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren. So what is this about he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are one? And now he's bringing up this theme of sanctification. What is the author talking about here?
There's some exciting things in this verse. A better translation, the one who sanctifies and those who are sanctified. It's passive tense, those who are sanctified. The word sanctified in the book of Hebrews is what is closest to what we think of being saved from hell. It means those who are holy. And what the author of Hebrews is saying, the one who makes us holy and those who are holy, those who are believers in Jesus Christ, are all of one. And his point is, he became one of us. We are all human. We are all of the same origin or same family. What's incredible about this is that he is not ashamed to call us brothers. When we realize what the author has said about Jesus Christ, that he is God, that he's the creator, that he is the king of the world to come, to think that he became one of us and died so that we could be holy, and that he is not ashamed to call us brothers. Think about that. And what a motivation it is now to follow, as he's talking about in this chapter, in his footsteps, that he's our captain.
I'm thinking about Muslims who have a very high view of God, but it would never occur to them to think that Allah would love them and consider them his brethren. That's just not the type of relationship you can have with Allah. But the biblical God who becomes a man, he can call us brethren. That's amazing.
Yes, and he's leading many sons to glory. He became one of us. As he said in the book of Hebrews, in his death, he purged us from our sins. And now, through faith in him, we have eternal life. But more than that, now he leads us, and we can sit on his throne with him in the world to come. How incredible is that?
So in verse 12, he goes on, and I'm a little puzzled by a couple quotes here. It says, verse 12, saying, I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will sing praise to you. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, here am I and the children whom God has given me. Why is he quoting these passages?
Well, I think the main emphasis here is when he talks about in the midst of the congregation, and I will proclaim you to my brethren. What he is saying is that Christ did not speak to us from heaven about his confidence in the Lord. He became one of us and dwelt among us and went through suffering. So in the very midst of this world, he is able to say, I know what you're going through. Again, he did not speak from heaven, but he became one of us. And he set the example of what it means to rely upon God when you are going through difficulties. And the original readers were going through difficulties. And so what the author of Hebrews is saying, he knows exactly what you are going through. And that's how he's going to end this chapter, that we have such a high priest like that. He, as a man, can say, here, I became one of you, and I am leading the example of what it means to trust in God when you're going through difficulties and suffering. And you can do it as well.
And if you look at the pronouns here, in the New King James, they capitalize my brethren. This is the king speaking. He's talking about my brethren. And I will sing praise to you is the king. And in the next one, I will put my trust in him. The my is the king trusting in his father, God the Father. And then here am I, the king, and the children whom God has given me, capital M, the king, right?
Yes.
So this is all related to the Trinity.
Yes, and on that last quote, the children whom you gave me, comes from Isaiah, where Isaiah named his children, and it was also in the context that the country in Isaiah's day was going through difficulties. The enemies were surrounding them, if you will. And Isaiah was able to place his trust in God in the midst of these difficulties. Christ is the ultimate example of that. The original readers had their enemies. And what we see is that Christ is the example of the one who trusted in his Father. And look what the Father did to him. He highly exalted him and placed him at his right hand. Well, if we follow in his footsteps, we will also be highly exalted in the kingdom of God.
All right, verse 14 continues, inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that's the incarnation, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil. So it's like Jesus had to die in order to destroy the power of death. Now, how does that work?
Well, I think there's a couple ways to understand that. Number one, one could argue that through the temptation of Satan, death entered into the world and Christ conquered it. But I think in this context here, a better option is when he talks about the one who had the power of death, or that they might release them from the fear of death. What the author has in mind is death is the one thing probably above all things that man fears. And if I'm being persecuted for my faith, I may be tempted to give up because I fear death. But because Christ has conquered death through the resurrection, there's no need to fear that. We can trust in God even if we are faced with death, if that is indeed what happens eventually to these original readers. Christ has conquered all these things.
So that's verse 15, that he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. So it's like when you're afraid of death, there's no religious limits that you'll go to get rid of that fear. One of the things you might do is you might get all trapped in religious rituals if you think that's going to stop death. What is the author arguing here? We don't need to be afraid of death. We don't need to be trapped in these types of religious rituals, or what?
One of the things you often hear, a person can't lose their salvation unless they deny the faith. I hear that often. What the author of Hebrews is saying is, no, you can deny the faith. That's the whole point of the book of Hebrews. And the reason why these people may deny the faith, one of the things is they fear what man can do to them, mm-hmm. which is death. And the author of Hebrews is saying there's no need to fear even that. If we realize that there is an eternal kingdom coming, where if we are faithful to the Lord, he's going to reward us. So even death is not something to be afraid of. And Christ was highly exalted, even though he went through death upon the cross.
And in these last three verses, the emphasis is on him being willing and able to aid those of us who are believers.
16, for indeed he does not give aid to angels, but he does give aid to the seed of Abraham. Therefore, in all things he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered, being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. So the picture here is they're being tempted. They're afraid of death. They're being in the midst of suffering and persecution, and they might just turn away from Christianity to avoid all this stuff. And the author is saying, no, there's help for you.
These are wonderful verses, the way he ends chapter 2. Because he became one of us and he experienced everything that we experience, including death, we can go to him remembering who he is. He's merciful because he knows what we are going through. He's faithful. He made propitiation for our sins. And if we are being tempted, we can go to this all-powerful king who knows exactly what we are going through, and he will give us the help that we need to remain faithful to him.
So if you tie together the beginning and the end of chapter 2, the beginning is, let's beware lest we drift. It's possible to drift away from the Christian faith for them in the first century, for us in the 21st century. But if you come to the end, it's also possible not to drift. If we take advantage of the aid that the King of Kings and Lord of Lords wants to give to us, then we will not drift, and we will one day be one of his partners, one of his metakoi, and we will be co-heirs with Christ in the life to come. Let's keep our eyes on Jesus, because he's the captain of our salvation, the captain of our future co-heirship with him.
Thank you guys for that great discussion on Hebrews. What an encouragement. Now, I want to tell you how to get your very own copy of Dr. Kenneth Yates' book. You can go to faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. And once you're there, you can either put the title of the book in the search bar, or you can go directly to our bookstore. This book is going to be a fantastic companion for listening through this series. I hope you'll get your own. I got my own as soon as it was available. Now, when you're on the site, I hope you'll take advantage of our free resources, like our magazine, our blog posts, and our podcasts. In addition to this, you may be interested in becoming a financial partner with Grace and Focus. This radio program, and in fact all of our ministries, are made possible by the generous donations of listeners and readers just like you. If you'd like to do that, you can find out how to become a financial partner on the website faithalone.org. Next time on the show, we're going to talk about the way in which the Son was faithful. So that'll be an interesting show. I hope you tune in for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and until next time, let's keep grace in focus.